Parenting is hard. Here's the good news. There are just a few things that every kid needs to hear. It does not matter if they have a big family or no family. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't even matter if they're toddlers learning to walk and talk, or teenagers learning to date and drive. Join us as we examine 5 things every kid needs to hear over and over. And remember, everyone can have an influence in a child's life.
All right, well, this morning we're finishing a sermon series called 5 Things Every Kid Needs to Hear Over and Over, and I hope that this has been helpful for you. If you've missed any of these five, go back on the podcast. You can listen to that online and catch up this week if you'd like. But as we've said, parenting is really hard. Parenting is hard, even under the best of circumstances. Parenting is a challenge. And so, but there's good news. There's just a few things that kids need to hear over and over that will help them navigate the difficult terrain of their lives. There are just a few key truths that can form a firm foundation of stability and security as kids grow up and they experience all the different joys and the pains of their lives. So I'd also like to remind you, maybe there's a few back there. On the info table, we should have a few extra copies of the book, 5 Things Every Kid Needs to Hear. If you didn't grab one of those are free. Those are for you. So please grab one of those today if you didn't get one as well. So let's look at the 5 things together. Number 1, you are loved. Number 2, you have value. Number 3, you have a purpose. Number 4, not everything is about you. This may be my favorite point last week. If you missed it, please go back and listen to that. Not everything is about you, but I'm glad that you're here. So every kid has a few questions that go to the core of their being. They're human questions. They're questions about identity and purpose and value. Kids want to know 3 things. Number 1, who am I? Number 2, why am I here? And number 3, do I matter? And if you think back to when you were a kid and your experiences as you grew up, in your childhood, in your teenage years, in your 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and so forth, I'm sure many of you can identify with these 3 questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And do I matter? And the 5 things that every kid needs to hear provides God-given answers to these core human questions. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the 5th and the final thing every kid needs to hear over and over, which is this: I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're here. You are deeply loved. But more than that, you are welcome here. You are wanted here. You are not only loved, but you are liked. Your presence matters. You give me joy. Kids need to hear these things and see these things and experience these things over and over and over. So if you have your Bibles this morning, your Bible apps, please grab them and open them toward the beginning to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Grab a Bible nearby. If you're not sure where the book of Exodus is, you can look it up in the table of contents. It's the 2nd book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus 33, starting in verse 12. And I hope by the time we're done this morning that you will see the deep and transforming power of I'm glad you're here. Exodus 33, starting in verse 12. Moses said to the people, let me start that over again, okay? Moses said to the Lord, that makes more sense. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. This is God's word. So the context of this passage is that God had raised up Moses to lead his people from captivity in Egypt to freedom in the land that God had promised them. If we had time, there's much more to the story than that. But God had led the people through Moses to Mount Sinai, where he entered into a covenant with the people of Israel, with this nation. Now, covenant is a binding relationship. We call marriage a covenant because two people enter into a binding relationship where two formerly different people from different families become one. And so God entered into a covenant relationship with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, and part of the covenant included the law of God, or sometimes it's referred to in the Bible as the law of Moses, which included many different laws, but it also included the Ten Commandments. And now here, Moses is speaking with the Lord. He's about to come down from the mountain where he has received this revelation from God of what God was going to do through the people of Israel, through his people, leading them into this land that God had promised. And before he came down, he had one more request of God. Now, if you put yourself in Moses' sandals or shoes or whatever he's wearing at the time, I don't know, maybe it was cold up on Mount Sinai, but if you put yourself in Moses' place, what would you ask God before you went down off the mountain and went out to do this incredibly complicated and amazingly challenging leadership assignment that God had given him? Probably something like, help. How is this going to work? God, would you please help me in this task? Well, that's exactly what Moses does here. He was given a monumental task. He was given the assignment and the responsibility of leading an entire nation. Second, Moses had to implement this newly given law of God with over 600 different commands of God for his people. Third, they were homeless. They had no country. They had no land. They were moving from captivity to freedom, and they needed to walk through the wilderness following the glorious presence of God to enter the promised land. This was one of the greatest and most challenging leadership responsibilities of all time. How do you think Moses was feeling? Nothing like this had ever been done before. How would you be feeling? Well, look back at verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. I love this. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, it seems kind of funny. Like, you keep saying that I'm supposed to be leading people, but God, you haven't told me who's going to go with me to help me. And so Moses, what's funny about this to me is that, first of all, I can totally empathize with Moses. I feel this way a lot of Mondays. Like, God, you called me to be a pastor, but like, who, you know, nobody's following Jesus. Well, that's what I think, and that's how I feel when I'm frustrated or exhausted. That's not true. But so I totally empathize with this, but God responds to Moses in an unexpected way. Now, what's interesting about this, before we get to the response of God, is that this was not the beginning of his leadership. He had been leading the people of Israel. Like, he had confronted Pharaoh, who was the most powerful king in the world at the time, and won. He had confronted Pharaoh. First of all, he didn't get immediately executed and he got the people to be free from captivity in Egypt. So Moses had already been leading. He had already led the people through the parting of the Red Sea. He had already led the people through the wilderness to Mount Sinai. He had already done so much under the provisional care of God. And now he's saying, like, well, who's going to help me? Maybe he doesn't see all the help that he already has. But God is so gracious, and he's so faithful to his people. He's so faithful to the people that he calls. You could say amen to that. That would be a great place to be like, amen, that is true. God is so faithful to the people that he calls. Thank you. Now, okay, Moses, you're already leading. Who has already been helping you? God has already been helping you. Moses continues, though, and this is good. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Verse 13. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Great request. And continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. This nation is your people. Now, there's a couple things about this. Man, every passage that we've picked for this series could be a whole series in itself. But if I were to preach this message on prayer, here's what I would say. Moses first appeals to God's word. You have said. That is a great approach when you pray to God. Appeal to God's word. If you pray in alignment with what God has said, that is a great way to know and have confidence that God will respond well to your prayers. Moses appeals to God using the promises of God. This is what you said, God. When you pray like this, you can pray with boldness and confidence because you can know that your prayers will not go unanswered. Now, second, Moses asked for God to help him to grow to be more like God. Did you see that? You have said, I know you by name. Now teach me your ways so that I may know you. This is so important and so good for followers of Jesus today. Because so often I think that when we're caught up, when we're wrapped up in our own stuff, in our own struggles or our own sins, we tend to go to God in prayer, or we tend to go to God in our minds and our hearts, looking for him to accomplish something, to do something. And Moses needs God to do something. He needs help in this incredibly complicated and difficult leadership task. But ultimately, we see Moses' relationship with God when we see that he comes to God with this request. Who are you going to help send with me to help me? And then he says, but teach me your ways so that I may know you. Moses doesn't just want God's stuff. He wants to know God in a deeper way. He wants a better relationship with God. He wants to know God and be taught by him and follow him in order to be more like him. And this is so good. This is so important for followers of Jesus. If you have requests that you want to bring to the Lord, bring them to the Lord. But ultimately, don't miss God for his stuff. Don't miss the giver of the blessing for the blessing. Ultimately, go to God with your request. Be bold, be confident, but ultimately be seeking after him. This honors God. This is the best thing Moses could have prayed for. So again, if you want to pray with all the boldness and confidence in the world, then appeal to the promises of God and ask for help to grow in godliness, not just so that you can grow to be more like God, but so that you can know God more deeply. You'll get a yes every single time. But then look how God answers him. And this is so unexpected. I wish that I could erase everything in your memory of you've ever heard of Christianity or religion or anything, any preconceived notions that you have about God. I wish I could just go blip and then they would be gone and focus on this, because we miss the power of this because we think we understand God. Look at what God says to Moses when he asked for help, when he asked to know him more. What does God say? My presence will go with you. I will go with you. And I will give you rest. And I think maybe Moses knew just a little bit of the implications of the weight of that statement, when, because he wanted to verify, wait a second, don't send us from here unless your presence goes with us. Don't send us from here unless you come with. Moses says, well, who will go with me? God says, I will. I'll go with you. The glory of my presence will go with you, says the Lord. Who? The maker of the heavens and the earth. The stars and the mountains and Mount Sinai that Moses was standing on. I will go with you and I will give you rest. Why? Why would God do this? Why would the maker of the heavens and the earth do this? He says, verse 17, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. God says, I know you intimately. To know a name in the Bible, a name wasn't just like what you called people. It represented their whole personality, their whole character, everything of who they are. God says, Moses, I know everything about you. I know your good parts and your not so good parts. I know your history. I know your present. I know your future. I know you by name, and you make me happy. That's what it means to when God says that he's pleased with him. He enjoys him. And this is like nothing I have ever heard before about any other God in any other religion or worldview. Moses says, help. And God says, okay. He says, who will help me? God says, I will. How will you help me? I'll be with you. I'll give you rest. This is who God is. God could say to Moses, I knew you when you were just an idea in my mind before the creation of the world. I knew you when you were just a little child and you were rescued and brought into the Pharaoh's household. I knew that you would come back to that household at some point. I knew you in your teenage years when you were learning and growing and making mistakes. I knew you when you ran from Egypt to Midian, afraid for your life. I knew you when you were raising a family and a flock. I knew you when I called you to lead my people. I know you today. But it's not this cold, omniscient, divine being who knows Moses. God says, I'm pleased with you. You make me happy. I'm glad you're here with me, and I'm glad to be with you. I don't just love you. I like you. And I'm not going with you begrudgingly or because I have to. Does God have to do anything? No. God is all sufficient. He doesn't need anyone to do anything for him. But I want to be with you. And I want you to be with me. And then the whole rest of the Old Testament, essentially in the Bible, is a record of God's faithfulness to stick with his people, not to abandon them, not to forsake them, even when they are unfaithful to him. He pursues them, even when they don't pursue him. God is so faithful. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here. So many people think that God is far off and far removed from their lives. Most people believe that God exists, but most people that I know also fail to think very often about God or really ever think through why they believe what they believe. But this interaction between God and Moses is not unique. And this is what God is really like. He wants to be with people. He wants to go with us practically and personally through life. And he wants us to get to know him in a real and conversational type of relationship as well. So about 500 years after the time of Moses, David, the most powerful and influential king of ancient Israel, had a relationship with God in much the same manner as Moses. Let's look at Psalm 18, 16 through 19. And I love this. David writes this after being saved by God from Saul, who was king, who was trying to kill him at the time. David writes these words. He, this is God, reached down from on high and took hold of me. Boy, that's my testimony. Is that yours? He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. That means help. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Listen to that. The Lord was my support. God was my help. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. God didn't just love David. He delighted in him, and David knew it, and he could feel it. Now, in case you think that David is like kind of a little bit overly emotive, like touchy-feely worship leader kind of a guy, he was also a warrior. He was the David of David and Goliath, who killed the giant, cut off his head, and wore it on his belt for a while. It's disturbing, but that's in the Bible. Okay, this David knew and believed to his core that God delighted in him. So in just a few weeks, we're going to start a Christmas series. And one of the themes of Christmas, the Christmas story, is that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is known as Emmanuel, which is a name which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. No other religion in the world has a God who is willing to become a man in order to rescue and be with his people. This is totally unique to Christianity. But this is a Bible-long theme. It doesn't just show up with Jesus, and that's why I started in Exodus. I want you to see that from beginning to end, one of the key threads that runs all the way through the Bible is that God wants to be Emmanuel. He wants to be God with us. That isn't just like an add-on. That's a main theme. That is why. That is the why of creation, that is the why of salvation, and that is the why of new creation going on into eternity future. God with us. And this is why. The last thing that every kid needs to hear over and over and over and over again is that you're glad to be with them. Their presence makes you happy. You enjoy them. You delight in them. I'm glad that you're here. God made human beings in his image in order to love them and have a real and personal relationship with them. And when you love your kids or somebody's kids like that, you're reflecting the good heart of your loving Father in heaven. I'm glad that you're here. Where? I'm glad you're here at the dinner table. I'm glad that you're here with us on vacation. It wouldn't be the same without you. I'm glad that you're here in our family. I'm glad you're a part of this church. I'm glad that you're with me as we run errands. It may seem like a little thing, but I'm glad that you're with me. I'm glad that you were born. If I go to a birthday party, I try and remember to say, I'm so glad that you were born. And I mean it. I'm glad you're here. That is a reflection of God to people. And that is a reflection of God's people to all people. These statements speak to how you feel about your kids. And they reflect the heart of your loving Father in heaven. Now, I know that some of you maybe in your families, when you were a kid, your parents, some of you have had really difficult parents. You have had parents who were hard to honor and hard to love. And maybe you didn't hear a lot about how your parents felt about you, how they loved you, how they wanted you there. Maybe you never heard that in your life. Or maybe some of you grew up in a more abusive type of household where you heard exactly what your parents, your mom or your dad, felt about you, and it was all negative. You were a disappointment to them. You were a letdown or an inconvenience in some way. But you have a responsibility, and I think it's more of an opportunity, to write a new story in the generations going forward. You may not have heard much about how your parents felt about you, but you have the opportunity to share how you feel with your children and other children, children in our church. In our Gospel Kids program, we have dozens of kids who need to know that not only are they loved, but that their presence matters here. We have teenagers, and there's thousands of teenagers in this city who are desperate to hear that someone wants them to be here. You see, this is so hardwired into us. Kids, when they're young, if they're not sure that their presence matters, like if anyone is glad that they're there, they typically start to act out. And a significant amount of misbehavior, yelling, fighting, being mean, causing chaos, all of the noise that comes with childhood, some of that comes from kids merely seeking attention from the adults that are ignoring them. And they push the boundaries to see what, if anything, will happen. And this breaks my heart because this shows me that kids long for positive attention so much that they would rather have negative attention from their parents than no attention at all. This isn't a little thing. If kids miss affection and acceptance at home, they will seek it out wherever they can find it. And it often means getting it from a destructive relationship, either with friends or boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse. Do your kids know that you're glad that they're in your life? Do they know that God knows them by name and isn't just watching them for when they screw up? He delights in them. You are deeply loved, but more than that, you are welcome here. You are wanted here. Your presence matters, and it gives me joy. This will give kids stability and security throughout life, and this reflects the very heart of God. I'm glad that you're here. So I was faster than I planned to be. So let me leave you with just a final thought. So if you faithfully, with all the amazing power of your mental and physical capacity, share these truths with kids over and over and over and over and over again, there's no guarantee that they will have an easy life. There's no guarantee that they will follow Jesus. There's no guarantee for anything really in life. This is a broken world, and people have the ability to make broken decisions. So, how do we as parents, as grandparents, as friends, as teachers, as volunteer leaders, how do we pour into the lives of kids in a way that reflects the rest that God promises Moses? The rest that Jesus offers. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. And he's speaking to parents as well. How do we share good news with our kids and not do so under the crushing burden of what might happen in the future? Let me encourage you with this. God loves your kids more than you do. He will love your kids perfectly, even when you don't. He knows them, And he has their past, present, and future in his mind and heart, just as he did with Moses, just as he did with you when you were young and not always the smartest. When you were young and didn't have all of the information that you have in your head right now. God was faithful in your story. He was faithful in your life. He's been faithful throughout the generations. He was so faithful in sending his one and only son, Jesus, in order to secure a relationship with us through his life, death, and resurrection. God has been faithful time and again for millennia. Why would he not be faithful with your children? Would you trust him? Would you give him your fear for their future? That will free you to be able to just share good news, scatter seeds of good news in a way that doesn't leave you with this crushing burden of fear, but does allow you to rest and have joy even in the journey that is not always easy. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding as a parent, but band together as the people of God for the sake of the next generation. Because guys, if we get this right, and there have been generations that have got it wrong, but if we get this right, this the majesty of who God is, of knowing him, the unbelievable freedom and love and peace and true life that you experience in a relationship with him, all of this carries on forward through the generations. Who knows what God might do through the lives of our children or their children? Who knows? Maybe the biggest thing that we accomplish in all the scope of history is to raise up this next generation. We don't know what God is about to accomplish through them. So let's put our trust in him. Let's put our faith in him. Let's put our faith in his faithfulness and be free to live this life with all the joy of heaven. Would you pray with me now? Our Father, we love you. We are so thankful for your faithfulness in our lives. We're thankful for your faithfulness in our families and in this community. And God, I pray that you would do a mighty work in this next generation. God, would you pour out your spirit on them? Would your presence go with them? Would they not move forward in their lives until they know that you are with them? And God, you have promised your presence with us as well. Who will go with us, Lord? You have promised it would be you. And so, God, I'm so thankful for that. Reassure our hearts. Give us rest. And allow us to enjoy these little people. And as they get older, not so little people that you've entrusted to our care. May we be better parents and grandparents and teachers and friends and leaders of these kids of the next generation. We pray for your glory and in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.